ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
So may I ask, it looks like most of you are quite young, correct, huh? Most of you are young. You look a little bit older. 43. 43. You're oldest. You're the oldest. But they're not here. Okay, okay. Oh, you're Sanyas list. Okay, Diana. Okay. How old are you? 30. And you? 24. Anyone under 20? Anyone under 20 here? Hare Krishna. No, no one. Under 20, okay. Are they all, you're all you're a little bit older, okay. I'm sorry. Maybe when I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, then I was just 18. I moved into the ashram. And I suppose I was a bhakta. And then I was a brahmachari. And there wasn't so much training. But it was a clear understanding that if you were brahmachari, then you lived in celibacy. You were keeping a reserved relationship. You were reserved in relationship to women, so to say. At the same time, there was a temple president, and he had a wife, and she took care of us very nicely. And I think that sometimes in our scripture also says that, like, the guru's wife takes care of the brahmacharis. So that's not wrong. We did not have so much of systematic training. There was Bhagavatam in the morning, and there was Bhagavad Gita in the evening. And we went out on Samkirtan during the day. And Samkirtan meant that we went out and were singing and playing kartas and mridanga and dancing, singing and selling some literature. And then we were cleaning and whatever, doing things. Then after some years, we started to have cars. And we had Volkswagen buses. And then we traveled in Volkswagen buses. And actually, 1973, I was actually Samkirtan leader of a party where there was both men and women in. But that didn't continue very long. Because things has its natural way. So it's like, it doesn't really fit together. You know, to be a brahmachari, I would say in one sense, it's a natural function. You know, you're young, you want to study Krishna consciousness or spiritual life, and then women doesn't really fit into the picture so much. So it's a natural way of being. Is not an artificial imposition. Not exactly. Of course, the modernistic society would say that it's an artificial creation, something keeping men and women artificially separated. But it naturally becomes like that. When you want to go for spiritual life, then you know you go into the spiritual dimension and the material dimension loses its significance, and you want to reduce that what interferes in your spiritual practice. I thought of one verse from or one small thing from the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, in the beginning. Let's see if I can read this today. I don't use glasses, okay? I'm 60. But sometimes my eyes is better and sometimes a little bit worse. And this text is quite small. I'm not very interested in teaching you a lot today. I just want to have a good time with you, okay? If we have a good time together, then we can stay together and we can continue our brahmachari life. And you don't have to go for other things. Well, Arjuna asks in the 18th chapter in the beginning, Arjuna asks, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, jaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyas. O killer of the keshi demon, master of the senses. The Supreme Lord said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life. And giving up the result of all activities is what wise call renunciation. Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activity should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifices, charity and penance should never be abandoned. Let's see. Well, then in text 5, acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even great souls. Okay, let's see. You get it. Okay, I read that purport. The yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society. Though many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yagya. I'm sorry, now it's getting, but it's connected here. Should a sannyasi who is in the renounced order of life and who has given up his family relations encourage the marriage ceremony? The Lord says here that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Yagya, the marriage ceremony, is meant to regulate the human mind so that it may become peaceful for spiritual advancement. For most men, this Vivaha Yagya should be encouraged even by persons in the renounced order of life. Hare Krishna. Sannyasis should never associate with women, but that does not mean that one who is in the lower stages of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Similarly, charity is for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to suitable persons, as described previously, it leads one to advance spiritual life. Okay, the point here, whatever in another purpose is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions this. Okay, here's. First, the point is, married life is also okay. Provided, okay, we It's a part of human life. It's a sacrifice. To be a brahmachari is also a sacrifice. Then sannyas is another form of sacrifice. Because all the sacrifices we do, in some way you sacrifice something for something higher. The point there with the yagya, dana, tapa, Prabhupada in one place makes that yagya is more specifically for the brahmacharis. Dana is for the householders. Tapasya is for the vanaprasthas and the sannyas. So now it's interesting in our ISKCON society, because if we see like that, well, even in the old times, where we just were some kind of hippies or some kind of milechas, yavanas coming into the movement, still the sacrifice, the Samkirtan Yagya, was performed very much by the brahmacharis and the unmarried young men and girls, I would say like that. So that is also a natural way that the brahmacharis, they're meant for sacrifice. You sacrifice your life for this, or your youth, your tendency for the sake of a higher purpose. And you engage in sacrifice, a harinam yagya, maybe book distribution, maybe just kirtan preaching, like that. Then if you become a householder, that is quite likely, as far as I'm concerned, then there is dana, then there is charity. As a householder, you have some economy, yes? You earn some money, you have some facilities, mostly the householders have. So they, in order to purify them, they need to give, they should be charitable. In one place, let's see. If that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the householders enjoy life with a charitable disposition. they kind of have some nice facilities, but they also have to be prepared to give, share the facilities. So therefore, the householder is like, there's four kind of, let's see, there's four gurus, yes? The mother, the father, the guru, and the unannounced guest. Who is an unannounced guest in the Vedic society? That's the sannyas or the renunciate to come and ask for some madhukari, ask for some charity. So if they come and ask for some charity, you should be very, respectful, charitable, yes, what do you want? And one may also then ask some questions, let's say. So they also, is a guru, like that. So the householder should be charitable, no one should be, if somehow asking charity, give, as in the mean. So that's one kind of austerity. Then there is vanaprastha sannyas, and he said that's austerity. It's stated like that. It's more going in that direction. You have been brahmachari, hopefully, have been trained something, you're getting married, living that life, and then as my god brother Vedavyas Prabhu stated on the Bhagavatam today that no, he's going for sannyas. After being married with four kids, and now with agreement with the wife, he says, now I take sannyas, I go in that direction. To leave the comforts of home, the comforts of the home, for living a different kind of life. Okay, so therefore the brahmacharya is there, we can say, in the beginning of life, as a training for the rest of the life. And then the brahmacharya usually, we do what we're told to go out and make harinam and distribute, and no problem, we are free. or you are free. You don't have a wife, you don't have this and that to worry about. And you may hope, you may not still manage the whole temple. So then certainly, you know, you don't have managerial, if you don't have managerial responsibilities in that way, then you just simply, yes, okay, you know, travel here, travel there, and, you know, make a sacrifice. But things, so that, I asked about the age here, because I was told like this. I was about 23 then. I was in the Samkirtan van. And I, most probably I was a Samkirtan leader. But there was one Prabhu there who had been in India. Okay, but he said that until 25 you can learn nicely. After 25 it may not be so. Something happens. So, in case, maybe that's a good excuse for me. But the point is that the development, just biologically, our development, physiologically, and maybe psychologically, actually, for the man, I don't know really how it works for the women, but for the man, until actually body, the brain continues to develop at least until we are 20. And then maybe there's a period of time until 25, but then after 25 it may gradually start to, on one level, decline. So therefore, up to 25 is an excellent time to learn things. So therefore I say, if you're young, take the advantage. Basically, whatever little bit I learn, I'm a little bit lazy, by the way, in one sense. In one sense I'm lazy, but maybe not in another. But most of what I learn, and verses, whatever little bit verses, I actually learned before 25, when I was in the Samkirtan van. When I'm traveling Samkirtan, that was when I learned it most. I learned the most. Of course, when I was in the Samkirtan van, I thought, this is difficult, traveling around, coming back to the temple, maybe on the Sunday, maybe every second Sunday. Would be nice to be in the temple, could do some service and have some corner, and there I could sit down and read peacefully. But then I ended up in the temple doing some pujari service and like that. But you didn't have more time for studying in the temple. I'm saying my experience, okay. The temples may be better managed nowadays. But actually, on the traveling, actually, everything supported itself. You made a sacrifice, and then you came back, and then you could read the scriptures. And actually, you were able to take in more what was said in the scriptures. So therefore, the sacrifice, with the sacrificing spirit of the brahmacharya, you know, you get in a purified state in which you can, so to say, take in the knowledge. Of course, another thing is, okay, let's just be a brahmachari, just do what I'm told and whatever, be happy. But then at one point, you get over 25, I guess. So you go either in one or another direction, but in either case, mostly it's a direction of responsibility. You will have to accept some responsibility. Otherwise, you will not really be satisfied. So either you become a responsible grihastha, or you become a responsible senior brahmachari, and later maybe a sannyas, going, so to say, in the sannyas direction of leaving, taking responsibility for more than just yourself and your immediate service and your own spirit, maybe study or like that. So that's how life goes, whether you like it or not. But that is also, is more satisfying when you accept responsibility, a greater responsibility for the sake of serving the Lord. Either this way or that way, but you will have to accept some kind of responsibility. I say, you will have to. That's my statement. Because that, I say, that's the way of life. And then later on, okay, then later on, Prabhu, yes, sannyas list, okay. Was correct? On sannyas list, you?
No.
No, not you, okay. Oh, Janaram Prabhu, yes. Okay, yeah, like that. Then later on, the natural sequence is to go into the sannyas. Okay, we had Veda Vyas Prabhu, my godbrother, senior, you think sannyas, of senior brahmachari, goes into the sannyas division, so to say. So this is, it's natural functions of the human life, a natural progression of the human life. So now you are in the brahmachari stage. That's very good. Take advantage. Don't waste your time. While you can, and someone didn't like that, but I say, well, you can run, do it. You know, jump and whatever, and you know, and study and learn, and you know, and then have it in the background, and then we will continue to study and learn and maybe jump to our capacity. But now is a good time in this portion of life. So therefore, take advantage. And if you're older, no problem. Just keep going as good as you can. Well, my experience in the Samkirtan van was, I'm a little bit observant, so I observe myself. And it was like when I got 25, it was maybe I just noticed a slight change in my capacity to learn the verses. You know, it's just something like, others maybe keep up like that, but for my own self, I notice. And then you get 50. So someone said, okay, welcome to the 50 club. Very great. But then again, it's not really your choice. I say, this is not your choice. If you live so long, you're all going to get 50. Well, Prabhu, maybe it's 50 years more. Yes, and understand English? 60, okay, Hare Krishna. No, you can say, I'm not going to get 60, I'm not going to get 50, I'm not going to get 40, I'm going to stay young forever. And you know, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. That's a force of time, also the way of life, or the way of nature. Carl Jung, I don't know, he's some kind of famous psychologist. In any case, he said that up to 40, you help people to look forward. After 40, you help people to kind of cool down and accept the fact that you're getting old. So even he, so the 40 is a kind of a point. I know Prabhupada said, you know, he had this formula, brahmachari until you're 25, then from 25 to 50, grihastha, from 50 to, 75, vanaprastha, from 75 to 100, sannyas. So it's very, very interesting there that this psychologist noticed that, well, after a certain point, you know, there's no point of making plans for the future. You have to actually accept the fact that you're getting older, limitations. But then it's a matter of doing a good use of that situation. My father, he lived until he was 88. And he came with my mother to the temple when I'd been maybe 1 year there. And they were going to try to get me out of the temple. So they thought if they come to the temple and stay with me, then, you know, they would be able to influence me somehow or another. But Krishna had his ways, so he made it this way that whenever they came and tried to get me out of the temple, I was unusually fixed up. So I was fixed up, and my father actually was staying in the ashram for a couple of nights, taking shower with us and like that. And I preached to my father that he should take sannyas. He was somewhere 57 or some, maybe 58, 50. He said, "Mother, it's Maya. You should take sannyas." Very good preaching. But the interesting thing is that later on, when he's maybe 80, he tells me, "My son, at that time you told me that I should leave family. And now I think actually it's a good idea. It would have been a good idea." He could understand the principle. Because he said, "Now it doesn't matter what I do. Mother is never really satisfied. When you're getting old, you can't satisfy the family demands. You know, you should be like happy and, you know, be social and all these kind of things." She said, "It doesn't matter what I do. She's not satisfied. It doesn't feel, you know, feels meaning, you know. Would have been nice to just be able to withdraw." Okay, I wasn't able to arrange for him to do that because we have whole other brothers and whatever, and everything is set up. So, but that's the interesting point. My preaching was actually correct. And my father could actually, at one point, understand that. Later on, he also made a point. He said that until 75, life was actually quite okay. But after 75, it's not fun anymore. So that's also a point. We have the Prabhupada said, you know, 50 to 75 anaprastha, 75 to 100 days sannyas. The point is, life has its stages, and it's not something you can change. But the Vedic culture is such to actually facilitate so that we use each stage, each thing in the best way for our spiritual progress. You don't have to get married, but you may get married. But now you're not married, now you're a brahmachari, so now you live that life. And then later on, see what happens. We can see it's going to stay spring forever. I'm sorry, it will not. You're going to be young forever, now you're not. And you're not going to be old forever either. You're going to leave your body whether you like it or not. This just happens. Okay, Krishna, something. I'm going to try to encourage you to, I don't know what. Any questions or comment? Okay. Yes, probably. I might not be finished yet, okay? I'll just see if there's some questions.
In my journeys from one center, I come to realize that many centers which are being governed by brahmacharis, there seems to be a continuous spirit to spread the movement.
Yeah.
But centers which are kind of governed by householders, there seems to be a natural way of doing things kind of a bit slowly, and sometimes you find that there's no facility for vichas, and you can't bring that to the denomination because it seems like that ashram allows them to operate like that. So I'd like to hear your view on this point.
Well, I think it's a good point. So unfortunately, on one level, it turns out that way. Now, I don't know here in India, and now here is Krishna Balaram in Mayapur and in Mumbai, the different temples, you see there's quite a bit of brahmacharis. Yes, it's a challenge. What?
I would have done.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's, I'd want to do it myself. It works. Yes, it looks like that. I don't know exactly what. Now your observation is in the more in the Western countries or in India? Yeah, okay, me too, okay. So that's our observation in the West. And maybe I observe that as well. And I don't know what to do about it, really. Where I am, I'm sorry, it's quite funny, I'm going to give a Brahmacharya class to you here. And I'm in a country where there's hardly any Brahmachari, okay. I'm staying in a community on a farm. In some way it's a good community. Basically everyone is Grihastha. Me and I have one good brother, we are not Grihastha, maybe someone more. But there is another interesting thing, is that the little bit older devotees, they actually think, well, how can we do some more preaching? So actually the desirable would be that there is a Grihastha period, but that you end up in the other end of the Grihastha life and actually do something about preaching a spiritual life in a more concrete way. And that may not have yet manifested in the West for various reasons. So, okay, that's just my... The deal is that it should be that way. And maybe Grihastha's managing temple and temple affairs, well, it may be good in one sense that they manage... take care of these things that has to do with money and managing and whatever, taking decision, practical things, so that those who are brahmacharis and those who are sannyasis don't have to worry about that. That would be the desirable situation. I don't, on the community I am, in one sense, I'm kind of a spiritual head, okay. I don't worry about the management there, okay? Whether it's a good management is another question, but I don't worry about it. Because it's not my business. The Grihasthas take care, at least materially it functions, so then hopefully, and then there's festivals and things going on. And some of these Grihasthas actually thinking a little bit in terms of preaching, okay? So they're getting into that position. We have grandfathers and grandmothers on the project and grandchildren. So we have a little bit of a range of age wise like that. It's not just young men and young girls. And it's not just old grandfathers either. But it's like that. But we Brahmacharya Ashram could be facilitated more. There is facilities. I just make the point, is maybe that yes. It's good that the Grihasthas manage, take care, but maybe need some other input, and that could be also a matter of time. I hope that that manifests, let's say. Okay, but it's nice to be in India. You think so? Yeah. Yeah. Coming from the West and see all brahmacharis and preaching. Some temples in the West, some temple, there is more brahmacharis also where I'm nearby, where I am. But then you have brahmacharis, but then again there's also Grihasthas. Grihastha is also part of life, so to say. So, and this is a greater whole of a preaching movement, so to say. So they should all fit in somehow or another. And they support each other, not exclude each other or compete with each other, but support him. That's the natural way, the healthy way of progress. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
But we see that, you know, it is important to have Kshatriya nature people also to protect this society. So what to do about that actually?
I don't know. I leave it to Krishna. Krishna has done, you know, this Krishna, you know, this is typical Krishna. He never, he doesn't allow everything to be one, okay? So here, this is Prabhu's observation. His observation is not a, is not an artificial imposition. Observation is that there's a Brahmana incline, the Kshatriya incline, I don't know, you didn't say Vaishya, maybe Sudra. Well, Krishna puts together, why is not everyone Brahmana? Well, that's Krishna's arrangement. So, I mean, the desirable is then the, well, desirable usually is if you have some management capacity. I spoke about the brahmacharya life, you know, happy, free, just studying, doing what you're told, going out preaching and whatever these things. But at one point, you get in, you may have to take some responsibility. So then someone maybe has a little bit of a managerial capacity, may take some responsibility like that, and then others maybe have really, really gets into studying and preaching and writing and whatever, doing things like that. So in some way it manifests like that. I think it manifests already. The problem is maybe if we try to impose a concept on reality that is not really in harmony with reality. Okay, because the Krishna's way is, what do you call that? Krishna's way is biodiversity. Okay, when there is diversity, there is strength. Because everything is just one, then you know you stand on one leg at the end, and that is not a very stable position. So we have two legs. Or two, more brahmanical, maybe a little bit more practical. It's someone who is able to deal a little bit with the practical matters so that everything can go on nicely. Okay, this is, I see, that's good. Now, then I don't know how it works here in this temple and how you do things, but then, sooner or later, if you're not meant to be a brahmacharya, not a renunciator like that, you will end up getting married or starting marriage or something like that. And if you really is, you know, spirit, brahmana, or renounced like that, then you can go on like a brahmachari. Or maybe more in the responsible brahmachari, more like a sannyas. But we cannot artificially say that, oh, now I'm going to be this. We already are. The gunas and the karmas, the samskaras. Yeah, it's like someone here. Because in India it's like, well, someone know that they're coming from a Brahminical background. And they actually have that experience in the childhood also. And someone else coming from a little bit more Kshatriya background. I mean, I've seen someone somewhere, and that someone somewhere has created a big temple and things. And he knew how to turn the noses of the politicians and get what he wanted. I couldn't do that. Of course, then he is a little bit of a kshatriya, so he starts to get in quarrel with the ISKCON, the rest of the ISKCON management. But still, there was a, he had power, shakti. Then you may have other, and there's a big temple he managed, so he does manifest. Okay, so, okay, Krishna, samskaras, that's the point. Now we from the West, I'm sorry, I'm a sutra. Sometimes I think I'm just a qualified sutra. I'm sorry. Maybe it's a joke, but it just, you know, if you're a qualified sutra, you may be seen as a brahmana. And if you're honest and, you know, keep your word and, you know, regulate it like that, you know, whether like that. So maybe I'm a sutra or am I a brahmana or maybe kayasta. In other words, what is the background? What was my father? He was an orphan. You know, you don't really know where, you know, then what was, you know. So that this puts, these things do put its impression on our psyche as we grow up. So we have a karmic, we have some karma with us from previous life, and that puts us in a certain position. And then we have our mother and father who has their qualities, and we, in any case, we manifest in the present in various ways, whether we like it or not. And then the Western way is that you should change yourself. I think the Vedic way is you don't change your, well, change your way, you purify yourself. You don't really change in that, maybe in a dramatical way like that, but you purify yourself. And that's a positive change. But then we're going to become something else. Yes. Okay, so let's see what happens. You can wait 10 years and see what the situation is. Because that is like, I've been around for 4 decades, you know. You maybe been, how many years have you been around? Prabhu, you would put the question. Yeah. Okay, 98. Okay, that's quite good. Some 15, 1.5 decade. Good. Okay, then you go and you see what, see how things happened. And you can observe and reflect and learn. See, okay, it's a better way. And maybe you get a, I don't know, if one day you will be, have a temple or ashram. Anything may happen, you know. Then you say, okay, this way, that way, how do I put it together so it works nicely? Krishna. Yeah, it's boring, yeah. I think it's time to end here. I don't know. any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned Maharaj you're mentioning how the Brahmacharya Ashram and the Vihastha Ashram needs to cooperate. I was wondering what that, how that cooperation, like what exactly does it entail, and how would a situation in which there's some sort of tension or some sort of divide between the two ashrams, how would that be fixed?
Well, maybe it can't be fixed. On some level, there may be some tension also, okay? And that's maybe not bad. Maybe, I say maybe. I'm sorry, I have difficulty to say that, no, it's like this, and you know, it should be. Keep your eyes open and look. But what I say, the ideal is cooperation. Prabhupada made one statement somewhere, I've heard, okay, this is the Prabhupada I heard, he said that there's the sannyasis and the brahmacharis are the children of the movement. Okay, so the grihasthas, and Prabhupada preached in his book that this Vedic society is so wonderful because the brahmacharis, the vanaprasthas, the sannyasis are taken care of by the grihasthas. The grihastha make the facility so that the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyas can be brahmacharis, sannyas and vanaprastha. I don't have to worry about making money or managing things like that. So that, and okay, let's say you get sick. You need to go to the hospital. Who has the money? Well, okay, maybe the temple has it. Maybe the sannyasis has the money nowadays. But you know, you need someone to take care. Then you may need some, you know, help from somewhere. So then the grihastha should be charitable. He help the brahmachari, the poor brahmachari, so he can be taken care of. There may also be a certain tension, yes, because it will be two different worlds, so to say, and that may also not be bad. So we can't get a utopian society, utopian situation either. And also in the Vedic society there was a king, and the king made sure that everyone was taken care of. It should be in the... Okay, well, what I see now happens in Europe in some places is that the parents really take serious about the boys, the sons. And they should go to the Bhaktividya Purna Swami's Gurukul in Mayapur, okay? So like, and the boys, even before going there, it's the one like walking around with a chatter and everything, and like, and then some brahmachari got married there, and this little boy, 5-6 year old, said, "This is Maya." And then I see this little boy in Bhaktivedya Purna Swami's ashram there. That's a small boy, you know. But that is, in any case, that's the grihasas. You know, they're living, they're being responsible for a temple, this or that, but then his son, he wants to go there, and he is there, and I hope they're taking nice care of him. So that's one way, you know, things kind of interact. So the children goes to the Gurukul, gets trained, and then, of course, I see the Brahmacharya Ashram as something that has a beginning and end. In one way or another, ends with sannyas, or ends with grihastha, or something like that. Training, Prabhupada's training for men of good character, or men and women, so that there can be a good society. Okay, but still, cooperation, when the different things is, okay, like this, it's like this body. Okay, I have my head up here, okay? And it's still sitting this way, not backwards. And arm is here and there in a belly. And when they're properly situated, they work nicely together and they support each other. But if my head would sit backwards, it would be a problem. And I shouldn't, if I carry my head under the arm, we have a bigger problem. Sometimes that's the expression, to carry a head under the arm. You know, the head should be on top of it, yes? But all the different things should cooperate. Then we have a strong body. I see. I can think. I can direct. I can move. I can take in prasadam, and I can digest the prasadam, so that it becomes energy for the whole body. So the Vanashram Dharma is as a social body. The different elements are needed, but they need to be properly situated in relationship to other in order to support each other. Okay, that's good theory. Our challenge is to put the theory. Well, if the theory is in harmony with reality, then we need to. Then our challenge is to make actually the things to meet, so to say, the theory and reality, and we will. Everyone will be strengthened. The brahmacharis will be strengthened, the grihasthas will be strengthened, the sannyasis, vanaprasthas, the whole society. And then you have the varnas also. Okay, that's what I say. Hare Krishna. Samkirtan ki jai. As a brahmachari, Samkirtan leader, on the Sunday evenings, or maybe the, not, usually we left with a Sankirtan van after the Sunday feast, sometime Sunday night. Maybe Monday morning, but then I used to call out, Sankirtan is leaving. And then the Kriyasas went, ooh. they were scared. Sankirtan, I don't know if you get the point, but I reminded, well, for us brahmacharis, it was fun, you know, yes, Sankirtan is leaving, let's get going, you know. But the Kriyasas, it was like got a little bit scared with the concept. Okay, the Sankirtan is leaving, the brahmacharis is leaving, okay, good. They wanted to stay there. Wasn't in the same spirit of renunciation. So there is a difference, yes. Okay. Any other question or comment? Okay. Nice to see you all here. If there's anything good I said, take it with you. Hopefully, what I think is, hopefully, maybe something I said now, maybe don't make sense now, maybe it makes sense later, hopefully. But in any case, I wish that you can, whether you stay or don't stay brahmachari, but you stay in Krishna consciousness, nicely engaged for the rest of your life. You know, that's a challenge. Not 1 year, 5 year, maybe even 10 years. The challenge is to go on for the rest of our life, whatever the rest of our life is. 1 year, 10 years, 50 years, who knows? But at the success is when we at the end of our life leave this body and say, Hare Krishna. We happily think about Krishna, whatever, goes back to the spiritual world. That's a success. So all these different things is different stages of preparation for that. So keep death in mind. Death is Krishna. And we don't have to be morbid. And you know, while be happy, also I like to sit here so I'm a little bit closer to you, because this table and then that seat there. Let's be close so we can give each other support. And hopefully Krishna consciousness can be fun along with the austerity. There has to be some austerity. I say sometimes it's like porridge. I don't know if you know what porridge is. In West we have porridge. You boil some grains. Now if you don't put any sugar in, or if you don't put any salt in, it's really boring. But actually, if you put some salt in, then it gets nice taste and it's nourishing. The same way our devotional life, there needs to be some salt. There needs some austerity, some sacrifice. Then it becomes more fun. Then, you know, it's alive. It gives us vigor. Without that, you know, well, then maybe we become like the Grihastha. If the Grihastha have too little sacrifice or austerity or charity or whatever, then you know, they may not be so happy. No one will be happy. Okay, so I wish you a good Krishna conscious life with yajna, dana, tapa. Going back home, back to Godhead, thinking of Krishna, serving Krishna nicely together. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.